This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Patrick Morley was an author and businessman. I don't even know if Patrick Morley is still around. I used to read his stuff years ago. He was someone who was successful, someone who achieved his goals, and yet one of the most powerful spiritual statements I've ever read by any theologian or any author was by Patrick Morley when he said this: most men and women seek after the God they want rather than the God that is. That's a profound statement. Most men and women go after and seek after the God they want rather than the God that is. I've actually heard people hear a sermon and say, well, I'll tell you what, my God doesn't believe what you said. Well, the God I believe in doesn't believe in this or believe in that, and I've heard that. I've had people confront me, and it's just an indication we can all do that. Well, my God, meaning the God that I seek, believes what I seek, and my God believes what I want to believe, and my God corresponds with my belief system. Tell me what you believe, and I'll tell you the God you have. Because our God will usually correspond with what we believe. And today we begin a new series as we begin a new year about Jesus being everything. Jesus is a great title because that's what we're going to study right at the get-go today from the book of Hebrews, that the identity of Jesus is not only important, it's central. Tell me what you believe about Jesus, and I'll tell you what you believe about a lot of other things. Somebody comes to my door with a religious discussion in mind. The first thing I want to know, I just say, cut to the chase. Let's just stop. Time out right now. Tell me what you believe about Jesus Christ. Why? Nothing else matters. If Jesus is who he claims to be, then nothing else matters. I want to know. Somebody standing at my door wants to talk to me in a religious context. Who do you say that Jesus Christ is? If he's just a good teacher, I'm not interested. If he's just the best person that ever lived, I'm not interested, because Jesus said this, we'll read it later. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's a powerful statement. We're going to start a message from the book of Hebrews. The easiest way is to start at the back of your Bible, go through Revelation, epistles of John, Peter, past James to Hebrews, a book written to Jewish believers. Jewish believers who were suffering persecution, get this, not only from the Roman government, they were suffering persecution from their own people. Let's read Hebrews 1, beginning at verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. Verse 3 is considered the key verse of the whole book, so you may want to underline it. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. The Son, S-O-N, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. If this passage begins with a phrase I love, in the past. In the past, God spoke to us through the prophets in various and sundry ways. I want to use that phrase in a different way. How would you describe your life with those three words, in the past? There are men in this room, you've had some dramatic change in your life, not because of you got religion, but you met Christ. There's some women in this room. There's been some changes in your life and changes in your home and changes in your marriage, not because you decided to follow a church group. It's because you met Jesus Christ.
Well, yesterday on Cross Hope, we not only began a new message, but a new series. It's a series with a simple title, just two words, Jesus Is. That's it. Jesus Is. What you believe about Jesus impacts everything you are as a man or woman. Hebrews 1 says Jesus is the exact representation of God's being, and he's the radiance of God's glory. We don't use language like that, but it speaks volumes to us today about who Jesus is. Let's continue with part two of the first message from a series called Jesus Is.
There are men in this room, you've had some dramatic change in your life, not because of you got religion, but you met Christ. There's some women in this room. There's been some changes in your life and changes in your home and changes in your marriage, not because you decided to follow a church group. It's because you met Jesus Christ. Jesus is everything. It's all about Him. It's not about us. It's not about this church. It's not about what I want. Everything around Christianity is centered around the person Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who's described, get this, as the radiance of God's glory, verse 3, and the exact representation of His being. I don't use language like that. You don't use language like that. But let me tell you, that captures for me when it says Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. Here's the illustration right up here on the board or on the screen. You see the source of light is indicated on the left side of the screen. It's implied. And then from left to right is the radiance of the light. Now, would it be safe to say, about if I point to the radiance of the light, to say that's the light? It is the light. The source is over on the left, but that is the light. And so it is. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory, meaning He's God. And He's the exact representation of His being, meaning He's God. And that's why it's so important as you study Christianity, if this is all new to you, the most important issue that you have to decide is, who's Jesus? It's not what does this church believe about 87 different things. You need to know what this church believes about Jesus Christ. That's all that matters ultimately. Who is Jesus Christ? And the Hebrew writer says He's the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, which is a formal, poetic way of saying He's God. One and the same. One and the same. What's the deal here in this passage about in the last days, in these last days? This always surprises people. I have people ask me all the time, Randy, do you think we're living in the last days? When there's a big crisis, when 9/11 happened, 2001, people said, well, is this a sign of the last days? The last days began the day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. We're in the last days. It started with the resurrection of Christ from the dead, from His death on the cross. We're living in the last days. And what's the thing about angels? You notice that angels are mentioned several times. You need to understand in this day and age, people even worshiped angels. They not only talked about angels, but there was angel worship. I found out this week in reading that some people thought that when Moses got the Ten Commandments, he couldn't have received them directly from the Lord. That would have killed him. That experience would have killed Moses. So probably what happened was that God gave the Ten Commandments to an angel who then handed them off to Moses. That's nowhere is that taught in Scripture in the book of Exodus. You won't find that at all. But here's the thing. The Hebrew writer says the angels worship Jesus. He was making a point that even the angels bend the knee to Jesus Christ. And here's my point. I need to be connected to the one the angels worship, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God.
We'll continue this message tomorrow on CrossHope. Our website is crosshope.org.
The cover story for Christianity Today is about marketing Christianity. And the author of the article points out that Jesus is not a brand like Starbucks. The Bible is not a trademark thing that we use in our marketing. And the cross isn't a logo like the golden arches of McDonald's. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. I want to share with you a powerful statement here that summarizes this whole message, if we could bring that up. Jesus is the final word from God about Himself. You ever talked about somebody and say, well, he's got the last word on this issue? Well, she's an expert in this field and she's got the final word or last word. Jesus is the final word from God about Himself. In these last days, God spoke to us through His Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I read about a young 19-year-old boy that came from Haiti. This 19-year-old boy came from Haiti to the United States. He was met by some people from the United States who were really impressed with his spiritual depth, and they said, we want you to come back with us to our country, paid for him to come back to speak in the United States. And I want you to listen to the description of this young man. A whole new world opened up to him coming to the United States. He had never slept on a bed with two sheets. Think about that. Never in his life had he slept on a bed with two sheets. He had never had three meals in one 24-hour period. The most he'd ever eaten was two meals in one day. And some of us eat four and five and then dessert and then a late dessert. You know what I mean. And he'd never had more than two meals in a 24-hour day. He had never used indoor plumbing. He had never had a McDonald's hamburger. While traveling through the United States, he made many new friends, and at the end of his six-week visit, his sponsors hosted a farewell dinner in his honor. After dinner, several people offered warm remarks, saying goodbye to him. And then they asked the young man from Haiti, would you like to say something? Yes, I would, he said. I thank you so much for inviting me here. I've really enjoyed my time in the States, but I'm also glad to be going back to my home in Haiti. You see, you have so much in America that I'm beginning to lose my grip on my day-to-day dependency upon Jesus Christ. What a statement. You have so much in the United States that I'm beginning to lose my grip on my day-to-day dependency upon Jesus Christ. I want to ask a personal question just of you, not the person next to you. What is it in your life that is aiding the process of loosening your grip on your day-to-day dependency upon Jesus Christ? You know what it is. Your spouse may not even know what it is, but there's something perhaps in your life that's causing you to lose your dependency, your day-to-day dependency on the Lord Jesus Christ. It can be a thing. It can be a bank account. It can be a job. It can be a career goal. It can be a person. It can be a house. It can be anything. I've been around a lot of people at death, and I can honestly tell you, I've never heard anyone ever in 30 years in the ministry calling upon a relative when they die that I can remember. I've never heard anyone call on their bank account, and I just call on my portfolio right now, and I just find great comfort in that. But I can tell you time after time, being around people who have passed, I've heard people just say, Jesus, help me. Jesus, be with me. I've heard people say, Jesus, take me home. Take me home. Why? That's where the power is. It was 11:45, quarter to 12, May 29, 1953, 15 minutes before noon, when Sir Edmund Hillary and a Sherpa guide named Tenzing Norgay stood at the top of Mount Everest. But the wind conditions and, of course, the lack of oxygen required that they could only stay at the summit for 15 minutes. Now, think about it. You start at a base camp that's higher than Pikes Peak. How many of you have ever been to Pikes Peak in Colorado? The base camp is like 200 or 300 feet above the altitude of Pikes Peak, and that's where you start. And then you go 6, 7, or 8 camps along the way where you stair-step climb. You go up a certain altitude and then you come back down, and you go up and you come back down so your body can adjust to the altitude. And when they finally make it, after 6 months of preparation and journey and travel time, they spend 15 minutes on the summit. One author commenting on this time at the summit says this, almost everyone has his or her Everest. Some goal to scale to the upper heights, some ambition to make it to the top, some motive to walk among the great. People often describe their search for human dignity along the line of climbing a peak and a temporal summit. Human dignity actually is found on a mountain, but that mountain is the holy mountain of God. Most men and women climb the wrong mountain. As the cliche says, I climb my ladder to the top only to find out it was leaning against the wrong wall. Isn't that interesting? I climb my ladder to the top only to find out it was leaning against the wrong wall. It doesn't matter what you conquer in life, what mountains you climb. It doesn't matter the goals you achieve. Get this, if you don't have a relationship with the one who's described as the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. There's several statements that I quote a lot about Jesus. One of them I quote at every funeral where Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I share that. I will never give a funeral ever as long as I live without sharing those words. Why? It's the most important statement you can share at a funeral. Often I will share the phrase, I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. No man comes to the Father except through me. But may I share with you in just a moment on the screen the one verse that every time I read it, the hair on the back of my neck stands up. If there's something about this verse that sends a chill up my spine, it's John 14:9, if we can bring that up. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Here it is. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Wow. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Why does that verse send a chill up my spine? Because I realize that those are the words of a complete pathological liar, a crazy lunatic, or the third option, Lord. And by the way, those are the only three options you've got with Jesus Christ. He was either the greatest fraud, the greatest liar that ever lived. He was a nut job, totally a nut job, lunatic, to say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, or he is who he claimed to be. Lord, can you imagine any man or woman getting up in this pulpit and saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? You'd say, somebody call the squad. This guy's nuts. And they'd be right to do it. But Jesus said it with authority. He said it with power. He said it with dignity. He said it because it was true. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Well, all this week, the first message in a new series simply called Jesus Is, from the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. Our website is called crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to any message you may have missed or to find out more about a ministry we call Cross Hope Radio.
Some of you have heard of an author by the name of Lee Strobel. Lee was an award-winning author and writer for the Chicago Tribune, the paper that I read every day growing up. And Lee was an agnostic by his own admission. A spiritual skeptic was a phrase I've heard him use about himself. His wife started attending the church known as Willow Creek Church in the Chicago area, South Barrington, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. Lee wouldn't go with her, as is often is the case. Oftentimes, a wife and mother will just come by herself to a church setting. Lee's wife went to Willow Creek, and one week she said, Lee, why don't you go with me? No, I'm not going with you to that church. I don't believe that stuff. I don't need that stuff in my life. And she did what a lot of wives did. She just gently kept pursuing and said, why don't you go with me to church? Come on. One week he finally decided to go. And what Lee said is so powerful. He said, I heard the message that day, and here's what he said about it. I didn't believe a word of it. I didn't believe a word of it, but he said, when later on, he said, I thought this. I don't believe a word of this stuff, but if it's true, if it theoretically were true, it would have tremendous implication for my life. Tremendous implications for my life. Folks, that applies to this passage. More than any other passage, if this is true, that he is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God's being, if John 14:9 is true, that if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father, that does have tremendous implications for your life. I don't know what you think about Hebrews 1. You may be here today and say, I don't believe a word of it. And that's fine. But if it's true, it does have tremendous implications for your life. It really does. Patrick Morley said, people seek the God they want rather than the God that is. Does that describe you in any way? But be honest for a minute. Have you been searching for a God that you want, that corresponds with your lifestyle, that corresponds with your belief system, and say, well, that's the God I believe in because, you see, that's the God I want. It's God I want to believe in, rather than the God who is. I don't offer people the opportunity just to believe in anything you want to believe in. I've not been called to do that. But I have been, I think, called to lift up the name that is above every name. The Bible says this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Somebody asked me recently, and I'll close with this. They said, what kind of church do you want Crossview Christian Church to become? And I think I know what they meant. They were saying, do you want it to become a large church? Do you want it to become a mega church? Do you want it to become a church that's politically active? Do you want it to be a church that's active in the community and doing this, this, and this? And I think I surprised them when I said, you know, I want to be a church that holds up the name. I want to be a church where there's one person that's elevated, and it's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the one who is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. You say, you've used that phrase a lot. I sure have, for a reason. Because I want you to go home with that phrase today, the radiance, the light of God's glory, and the exact representation of his being. It's all about knowing Jesus, being with Jesus, and going to Jesus. That's what Christianity is about. Meeting him, knowing him, loving him, serving him, and going to be with him. And we read that recently, that the angels accompany a believer to the presence of God, that you trust everything you know about yourself to everything you know about him, and you don't die alone, you die with Christ.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.